The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts or guests alone, and not those of WGXC 90.7 FM, its staff, management, or parent organization, Free 103.9.
Good morning. This is At Issue, and we're on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm Victor Mendolia. I'm your host today, and we are with Hudson Mayor William Hallenbeck Jr. So thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Victor. It's happy to be back.
We have some questions that people have emailed in. We're going to get to the questions that the emailed questions at around the 10:30 mark. In the meantime, there's a few things that I wanted to chat about. But I did want to say, first of all, I really appreciate working together. As a lot of people know, I'm the chairman of the Hudson Democratic Committee. But throughout your tenure as mayor, it's been a pleasure working with you. And I think you've always been open to suggestions and open to ideas that have been brought forward. And I appreciate that very much. And I think it's been
I appreciate not only from an elected official capacity, but representatives of every party in the city of Hudson, especially yourself for working with myself and the city on a lot of the tasks that we try to accomplish here in the city of Hudson moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things is you fight an election.
Do you need that a little louder?
Just one second.
This is the volume here.
Sorry about that. Is that better? Okay. You fight an election. It's election time, but then the goal should be, of course, to put down the swords and get to work and work together. So I really appreciate your openness to doing that, and I think it serves the city well. So
I agree. Before we start, if I may, mm-hmm. I'd like to just extend my condolences and heartfelt sorrows to the victims of that horrific event in Connecticut. As some of your listeners may have seen in the paper this morning, on behalf of the city of Hudson at the council meeting last night, an effort to urge state and federal officials to consider banning guns, assault guns, mm-hmm. weapons, it's just an unbelievable. Just when I, from a law enforcement perspective, at 21 years as a police officer, think it can't get any worse. These unfortunate reminders that evil does exist in the city, in this size and proportion, and at an elementary school, is just very hard to comprehend. And I'd also like to extend a happy holidays to your listeners and the residents of the city of Hudson and yourself.
Great. Thank you so much. So the one question that we did get emailed the most was various forms of what do you see for the waterfront? How is the LWRP going and that kind of thing? So I think the first question I would say is what is your vision for the waterfront where it exists? The waterfront park and other properties down there that we have control of, like the Kaz warehouse, which is behind Stageworks and across from the Amtrak station. Where would you like to see those areas?
Well, I've always said that certainly our waterfront recreational events and opportunities that we have at our waterfront can coexist with business in that area. Such as small businesses, the potential for a hotel, retail establishments. I took a trip to Poughkeepsie where there's a restaurant hotel Shadows in that area where they're developing their waterfront, which is right on the waterfront as far as the, I think, 14 plus acres, 14, 15 acres that they have. Mm-hmm. And they've decided that condominiums, which they've located on the waterfront, and these hotel and restaurant. With the expansion or the possibility of adding more on that 14-acre parcel, was something they wanted to do. I went down to take a look at that. I found it really to be fascinating, beautiful, right on the waterfront. Certainly, the financial considerations for any business to invest the kind of money that they have in Poughkeepsie I'd certainly love to see in this area. And the amazing thing was that the way it was cleared out already, it looked a lot more than 14 acres. And we have 25, including the 9 that L&B sits on right now at the waterfront.
You mean the Casper House or L&B?
I'm talking about the waterfront, where our waterfront park is.
Yes.
And where L&B is in that area.
Okay.
25 acres is what we have to develop on the waterfront, potentially. Mm-hmm. But 9 of the 25 is where the L&B parking building is.
Do you mean the Casper House or the L&B?
L&B.
L&B. But the L&B is privately owned, though, right?
Correct. That's what I'm saying that, you know, that part of the waterfront, you know.
I see.
Yeah. So, in reference to future development and initial development at the waterfront, we've had conversations, we being the council president and other elected officials, about potentially and focusing on 3 acres, which is directly behind our waterfront park that the Dunn's Warehouse currently sits on.
Right.
And the acreage that runs north to our boat launch.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed the potential for, you know, putting an RFP out in regards to our vision.
Right.
And when I say our vision, the city's vision.
Right.
Not my vision or any other elected officials, but the city's vision with input from residents of the city in regards to what we can establish in that area. And as you know, budgetarily, putting in a $300,000 anticipated revenue potential with the sale of the Dunn's Warehouse building is paramount to the 0% tax increase that we created in this budget for next year. And we do have interested parties that, you know, are discussing the potential for things like restaurants and other things in the Dunn's Warehouse building.
So one of the things in that was called for in the LWRP was the transfer of 7 acres at from Wholesome. Is that still on track? Is that still going?
We've had discussions with Wholesome, and the lead in those discussions have been our city attorney, Cheryl Roberts. We've had discussions in consideration of the assessment that was provided to Wholesome on that land, and the potential of the 7 acres being transferred over to the city of Hudson. Those conversations, while not stalled, have taken another direction in that I think at this time Wholesome is weighing all their options and considerations in regards to whether or not they will and want to consider, you know, the transfer of that land to the city of Hudson or the sale of that land to a private entity.
Uh-huh.
So we're moving in our discussions expeditiously to determine exactly where the city wants to go as far as potentially trying to first finding out what Wholesome plans on doing, and secondly, whether or not we're in a position to potentially try to purchase that property ourselves. And, you know, we've also discussed the potential for, you know, other considerations such as, you know, eminent domain, that type of stuff.
So. Okay. Another thing that people were somewhat, a number of people mentioned was the predominance of the spirit of Hudson and the and their sort of claim to a big section of the waterfront there, and it was, and I was wondering if you had thoughts about that lease and whether that would continue as it currently is, and how long, maybe if you know how long that lease is for.
We I haven't had any discussions in regards to that, and I haven't had anyone inquire about the spirit of Hudson and their abilities to stay where they are, and any conversation in regards to their lease. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I'd be willing to have those discussions and look into that.
Right.
But I haven't had,
okay.
There's been no one that has brought that to my attention, mm-hmm. or any concerns regarding the spirit of the Hudson.
Right. Okay. So on last night, I mean, we talked a little bit, we just touched on a little bit about the vote on the, assault weapons, calling on a ban on assault weapons, and but there was a fracking vote on the agenda, which would have banned fracking in the city, which is hydrofracking, which is the hydraulic fracturing of rock in order to extract natural gas. Most people don't think that would ever be done in the city. There is not a big deposit underneath Hudson. But the other thing that the ban would have done would be to ban the shipment of hydrofracking material, which by most people's most people consider to be toxic waste, and although it is not covered on typical toxic waste reporting because it's gas or oil drilling and they have an exemption, a federal exemption to disclosing those things. It also would have banned processing fracking fluid at our water treatment plant and would also ban using it as a de-icer on our roads. Most people understand that we probably wouldn't allow most of those things anyway, but the transport of fluid would be a big thing. It went down and was not approved on ward lines, which was really strange. But the first and third ward aldermen voted yes for the ban, and then all of the other aldermen voted no. Have you what are your thoughts about the vote, and if a fracking ban came to your desk, would you sign it?
Well, in the first part of your question, I think every elected official has a responsibility to the residents of the city of Hudson and those who elected them to really take their time, deliberate, get all the facts in regards to whatever decision it is that they're going to make on any matter. I've done that and continue to do that just as a daily course of living and making decisions. I continue to listen to the debates to try to educate myself about fracking, certainly as much as I can, in determining whether or not I, for example, are for or against fracking, certainly in the city of Hudson, if not New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue to do that. And I've gone by invitation to some events where this has been discussed. As I'm assuming some of the aldermen, although I certainly don't like speaking for the legislative branch, and their thoughts on how they govern. It is a concern. There's valid points against. I've listened to the conversations for fracking. When it comes to the potential in the city of Hudson, which I don't think fracking would ever take place, but the potential for these items to be used for the purpose of being spread on our streets, with the potential for chemicals to be in these things that would be used. I don't know why anyone, if in fact there's validity to support the argument that this is the case, mm-hmm. and this would happen. And again, I'm not speaking for those who voted for or against. I think if at a point in time when you can, as an individual representative of the people, decide that, you know, for or against, and there's some validity to support, you know, your position, you vote the way you vote. Now,
It was a little odd that nobody explained their position, though.
Well, and, you know, I would have, I certainly would have liked an explanation to help me, you know, again, gauge my thoughts on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. And, you know, and again, if there's validity to support that any of these items that would be spread in the city of Hudson for the purpose of, you know, de-icing included the chemicals that have been mentioned, then I don't know why anyone would vote against that.
I mean, the other issue is that if big tanker trucks are full of this material and God forbid there was an accident on Columbia Street or on Third Street or whatever, you know, this would be a massive cleanup that would probably not even be able to ever be fully cleaned up. And I think that that's one of the things that people are so concerned about. While they probably would never be fracking, most likely even anywhere in Columbia County, the transport of the materials through our city on a truck route is really troublesome.
I think that you made the most valid point, and it was reported this morning in the paper. When you said, you know, as environmentally eco-friendly as this city is, and I think one of the most in New York State, you know, why it would even be questioned, you know, if there's the potential possibility of this existing.
It
would be automatic. But again, I can't speak for those.
No,
who,
I
you know,
understand.
I didn't have a vote. And,
right.
You know, had I had a vote, knowing that, and I'm assuming that the aldermen that, you know, sit on the council know what's before them, hopefully ahead of time, because I know as a supervisor, sometimes I didn't know until the night of the meeting what was in front of me on the county level, but that they would do their own research and that they would make a conscious decision as to why they're voting yes or no, and then be able to express and explain you know, when asked.
It seems like there's something else at work here that's not being discussed, which I think is a shame. Yeah. So we touched a little bit on the truck route. I mean, I just mentioned the danger of the truck route. Some time ago, and this is a question that was sent in, some time ago you talked about having a truck route task force, and that really hasn't materialized yet. Is that something that you'd still like to see done? And
I would like to see it done, and what happened was, and what continues to be somewhat of a delay in the process, is the fact that, we haven't been able to get past the fact that the towns that need to cooperate with what we would want to do in the city would have to cooperate in trying to maneuver the truck route somewhere else or out of the city of Hudson. The town of Greenport and the town of Clorvik continue to, I'm assuming, debate that question, but we haven't had any headway in regards to these towns wanting to, for lack of a better word, I don't want to say cooperate, because I think it's an issue for them, too, in considering a truck route.
Right.
It is a state truck route. It will be difficult, but certainly, you know, there hasn't been any headway in that respect. And I don't know, as I consider putting together a task force for a truck route. And we value our time in regards to what we work on as elected officials in the short time that we have. How much that would move forward in regards to what we could do at this point with the truck?
I've heard, though, that assumed position that the other towns would have to agree to that. I've heard that may not necessarily be true. Is that anything that you've been looking into, whether it is true or not?
I don't have any information that suggests otherwise.
Right.
That both the town of Greenport and Clorvik would have to be on board in order to make this happen.
Right.
Now, if there's an entity or someone with supporting information, documents that suggest otherwise,
mm-hmm.
That they should forward that certainly to the mayor, and I'll look into it immediately.
Right. We've spoken ourselves a couple of times about possible charter revision, and I was wondering if you, if there was anything that, you know, I mean, we're operating in a you know, an 18th century with an 18th century charter and some perhaps antiquated ways of governing that may not really be the most efficient or the most cost effective in the 21st century. Are you interested in possible charter revision and working on some of these problems? And if so, maybe what you could just elaborate a little bit on some of the problems that you see.
One of the things that concern me, and certainly our whole charter should be, going through and a lot of things considered for restructuring purposes. But one of the things that, from a political standpoint and a governing standpoint, I'd like to see change through public referendum and considered is the terms for some elected officials and how many, you know, elected officials we have in the city of Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
The consideration of, you know, scaling back to one alderman per ward or having a supervisor representative. I mean, we do work, live in a diverse culture here in the city of Hudson, and that's always an argument of whether or not having a representative, for example, supervisor from the 5th Ward, is beneficial to those who, you know, would live in the other wards who are now represented by individual supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see that considered as a public referendum,
mm-hmm.
And a committee put together to also consider other charter, restructuring possibilities,
right,
and changes.
And what are your thoughts about the 5th Ward, because of their population, has a much higher weighted vote than the other wards in the city, two or three times the weighted vote of the other wards. A number of people have been floating the idea of adding a district and making it 6 wards. Since there are already 6 election districts and they wouldn't have to redraw any lines or anything, and perhaps going to one alderman per ward. Is that something that you could potentially support?
This is a new conversation that has just come up. When it comes to the census numbers and the way the system is now, I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to that. Because I know that, as you said quite elegantly in regards to, how long, this charter's been around and how long we've been doing certain things. The 5th Ward wasn't always the ward with the most weighted votes.
Sure.
And I believe it was the 1st Ward years ago, and now it's the 5th Ward.
And potentially the 1st Ward could grow population-wise with the development of the waterfront as
correct,
well.
Correct.
Or the 2nd Ward, for that matter.
The council president and I have had conversations about this, and he brings up some good points that certainly I could support. I think in our conversation, the arguments that I make in regards to the way it was and the way that government has been working on the council level with these weighted votes for all this time shouldn't be changed too quickly or drastically,
right,
if at all. But as with any consideration in government, debate is always welcome, supported, and should happen. And it certainly doesn't hurt to have these conversations, but to come right out and say whether or not I would support it at this time would
right,
be a little premature.
Sure. But there are 3 mechanisms to appointing a charter revision commission. You could appoint it,
mm-hmm,
the council could appoint it, or the people could collect petition in order to require the council to appoint.
Sure.
I kind of know the answer, but I mean, you're considering.
Yeah, I am considering, and probably will put together a commission,
mm-hmm,
charter revision commission, Who that will consist of, I don't know yet.
Sure.
I know we've had some discussion about that.
Right. You mentioned about the terms, and we're not talking about term limits. You're talking about the length of term.
The length of terms. It's very difficult to, you know, as all of us try to work as hard as we do, and I mean everyone, because I've, in my public service life, have seen a lot of people work in different ways and in regards to doing what they do in their business. I've never seen, as much work, pride, and dedication that goes in to the city of Hudson and by the officials, be it elected or otherwise, that we have.
And so volunteers of all kinds.
And
of
volunteers.
All stripes, right.
It's incredible. Yep. It's absolutely incredible.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to read some of the or discuss some of the questions that were sent in by our listeners. And if you're just joining us, this is Victor Mandolia. This is At Issue, and I'm with Hudson Mayor William Hallenbeck Jr. We'll be right back. This is At Issue.
Of the hosts or guests alone, and not those of WGXC 90.7 FM, its staff, management, or parent organization, Free
1.3.9. And we're back. This is At Issue. I'm with Hudson Mayor William Hallenbeck Jr. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, but we didn't really quite finish your thought about the length of term. So maybe you could talk a little bit about why you would consider that.
Thank you. And as I was saying, I mean, the amount of work and time that goes into dedicating oneself to public service and being an elected official is unbelievable. And you know, especially at a mayor's level, a common council president's level, even a treasurer's level, it's just more reasonable to think that, and the expectations are greater for an elected official and those in the capacity of those three seats to be elected for 4 years versus 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, in regards to a lot of decisions that need to be made, a lot of planning that goes into those decisions, and even for economic development purposes, there's not many times that you can see an economic development, for example, project go through in a matter of 1, if not 2 years.
Right.
So I think it's important that at least we consider the potential for 4-year terms.
Right.
For those three seats, and whether or not we need, again, two representatives, alderman representatives in each ward, if not just one.
Right.
And
possibly, do we need five supervisors instead of one?
Visit the supervisor seats and see what we can do with that.
So, and what I think some people, when a mayor takes office, or council president, the treasurer, whatever, for the first year of their term, they are working on the last mayor's or last elected official's budget.
Absolutely right.
And then you have 1 year to work on your own budget, but then you're also running for office again. So in many ways, that perhaps may hold back long range planning, and because you're making a budget that also has to, satisfy various constituencies and stuff, and it may not necessarily be the right long-range decisions that get made. Is that
you're absolutely right? And you know, not only the last mayor's budget, but a lot of the projects that
right.
are left over, and you know, trying to set up this your structure
right.
So that you can move forward mm-hmm. with what you want to do.
So one of the questions that got sent in was about the prison. There seems to be new rumors going that the prison may close again, and this has been something that's been, you know, that has we've sort of dodged that bullet a number of times. And so the question was, what do you think that the prison's impact on the city of Hudson is, and what would be the potential of the prison if the prison did close? Where do you see the potential benefits or potential losses there?
Well, I am somebody who supports the prison remaining open, and would do that to the bitter end, and hopefully, you know, it's not a consideration. I did get a call last week in regards to the potential, in regards to the Hudson Correction Facility being on a list of 8 potentially considered for closing. The city of Hudson, the impact would be drastic from an economical standpoint, an employment standpoint, and certainly from the benefits that the city receives, as does the county, from some of the work release programs that we have at the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, at a yearly meeting that I was at with the Hudson Correction Facility, I emphasized the fact that the city of Hudson more than ever wants to use the programs that the prison offers us.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, you know, to consider Hudson, especially after everything that the last administration and the employees of that prison and the administrators of that prison went through, to remain open and really to show how worthy they are to remain open,
mm-hmm.
To consider closing the Hudson Correctional Facility again, you know, to me is beyond comprehension. I certainly, I wouldn't even consider that.
Do you think that we should be looking at potential contingencies if indeed it does close? Like, should we be reaching out to universities or?
Well, you know, there's been talk, you know, and rumors of, you know, Bard College being interested in that property,
mm-hmm.
if that should happen, and, you know, other rumors floating around. I've had no serious discussions with anyone in regards to the what-ifs.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to work in the what-ifs. I try to deal with what's in front of me now, and that is that the prison is still open. We'll do anything that I could possibly do if we get to a point that they did the last time they were considering closing,
mm-hmm.
To support and be very vigilant in maintaining the position that the city of Hudson needs the prison here, and it should remain open, certainly for census considerations. I would have liked to have been seen the third ward, you know, realize the prison population that we used to in the census figures. We don't get that anymore. But it's
full disclosure, I actually support the counting of prisoners from
yeah.
their communities. But
yeah.
that's just a difference
yeah.
of, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I think it's a shame that we lose potential dollars,
you know,
and political clout. But
it's a very difficult situation because, you know, if you're passionate about something, which, you know, no matter who you are and what you work in, you know, the prisoners, the correction officers, the administration, they have families. They're passionate about what they've done. In some cases, there's employees over 25, 30 years
mm-hmm.
in that prison. And, you know, it's a scary time when these discussions take place. Now, right now with the limited brief discussions that I had,
mm-hmm.
which was basically a 5-minute phone call that this was mentioned in Albany. I'm assuming that this was part of budget discussions and,
right.
and you know, this is how much money you have you're the commissioner. What can you do mm-hmm. within this budget? And you know, it was thrown out there. These are the prisons that,
right?
You know, the commissioner feels
it seems to be on
close,
the perennially you know? On the chopping block.
Correct. Yes.
Of course, it's a very old prison and has, I'm sure, issues with the infrastructure that I think you know a modern prison may have advantages just from a cost basis that of you know.
Well, I will say, I mean, you know, you would think that it would structurally have a lot of issues, but whoever's been taking care of the prison mm-hmm. over there has done a fantastic
and
job.
I guess
because
it was
that's
built
one of the
pretty solidly, right?
Yeah, that's one of the conversations we had as I toured for 2 hours with the head of security over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing, you know, the structural, you know, considerations that exist over
right.
there for an older building. Seemed very sound. It's very clean.
Mm-hmm.
They do a fantastic job over there.
So back to another question. We got a couple of questions about the shutting down of known drug establishments or drug dealing or crack houses or however you'd like to put it. I know that there's been some there's been a particular concentration a lot of pressure on the Fifth and State, which I think has somewhat subsided, but other people believe that that problem has now just moved to other locations. I know that people have been particularly squawking about 8th Street and other areas down in the Second Ward. What are your thoughts about the our ability to sort of clamp down and keep down on some of the more unsavory
you know, this question,
activity.
This question would be would have been perfect to for me to be served when I was in law enforcement, but as mayor now, Commissioner Graziano is very aggressive, as is our police department when it comes to investigating any reports of out of the ordinary traffic. Potentially dealing with the sale and or distribution of drugs in any area of the city of Hudson. I can tell you that there have been residents that have expressed their concern to me, and I've had meetings with the commissioner and other law enforcement representatives of the city of Hudson. They know the job that they have. They realize and I don't know if most people realize the time and effort that goes in
mm-hmm.
To being able to accomplish at the end of the day what we all want to see is, and that's ridding drugs from our streets. But it's very difficult to be able to work an investigation proceed with search warrants
mm-hmm.
and other ways of concluding an investigation and raiding and arresting someone. I like to think that the Hudson Police Department has a good working relationship with the District Attorney's Office, and that they're working side by side in a very aggressive effort to investigate any complaint and any suggestion that there may be illegal activity, not just drugs, but any illegal activity mm-hmm. anywhere in the city of Hudson.
When people feel like they have a specific problem, how do you suggest that they first, you know, where's the first point of contact? How should people deal with if they're, you know, if it's a crack house or you know, drug dealing going on on their street?
And most people don't like some people don't like calling, leaving names. We have a tip line, as does the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
They have a hotline that you can leave information on. I believe our Hudson website has that,
mm-hmm.
probably under the police department section.
Right.
They can also, I'd like to think that the community policing that you know, I certainly strive for as a mayor with our police department is taking place to the point where residents are comfortable if they see an officer to let them know about a particular establishment or area that's, you know, not conducive to very good quality of life situations.
Right.
And if, in fact, it's a police matter, then it should be addressed immediately. Certainly, you know, my number, 337-9316, is available for anyone to call with any information that they may have if they believe that this activity is going on. And their information will be kept confidential, and that information will be forwarded to the police commissioner immediately, who I have no doubt would initiate an investigation immediately.
Okay. This is a little off, but recently two states legalized marijuana. There's been a lot, you know, a big movement toward more decriminalization of marijuana. I was wondering what your thoughts about that are.
Say that again.
Just what your thoughts are about like more decriminalizing marijuana.
Well, I think as a nation we've seen, you know, that it's very difficult to stop possession and or distribution, growing, importing of marijuana.
Right.
When you look at the states that just legalized marijuana. It's interesting that the state still has a lot of legislating to do in regards to what they do now, because, and I
right.
think I was reading an article, I believe it was Washington, where they legalized, but now, you know, you can't grow it, you can't
right.
import it, and, it, you know.
But they're going to tax it, so that.
Correct. So, you know, you're talking a year
yeah.
before that gets, I'd like to see, and I'm glad that from a state perspective, that New York State gets to, you know, they get to see the leaders in seeing how it works with revenue from taxes
right.
and from, you know, from usage in their in these other states. We get to see kind of what happens in consideration for future
right.
possibilities here in the state.
Another question that came in was about the racial makeup of the city's workforce, and the author of the question had pointed to a an answer that or a question at the debate of with you and Nick Haddad during the campaign
mm-hmm.
about the racial makeup of the workforce, and the person claimed that he hasn't seen any change. I was wondering what your thoughts are about that.
Well, I don't know exactly where that change was supposed to be seen. I don't think we've...
The writer mentioned DPW and specifically.
Okay. Well, DPW, for example, you know, we have... I mean, are we talking of people of African-American descent here? Or
I'm assuming that's what the question was about.
You know, we have... you know, an African-American police chief in the police department, several officers of African-American descent. We've hired one officer since my term began. We haven't really hired in too many other positions, maybe
mm-hmm.
one from DPW. We have, I believe, two African-Americans with DPW.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, one of the things I mentioned, and I'm working on too, are two things. First is the with Pat Gratton, the Minority Task Force, which I would like to see come back. There was a Minority Task Force before, which I think helped minorities with. Knowing when, for example, civil service tests were coming up,
mm-hmm.
how to prepare for those tests,
right?
How to gauge and consider job opportunities in the city, and again, I think we've hired only maybe two
mm-hmm.
since my term started, and another not consideration, but another area where we're moving also with Mr. Mosley and I. Is to create a mayor advisory board. In fact, we've met several times, and he would chair that.
And this is Greg Mosley, who's from Operation Unite.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And even Elena. I mean, I meet with them continuously over different matters concerning the city of Hudson. And
two of the greatest upstanding citizens,
no
in
question.
My opinion.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And very dedicated. Their volunteerism is second to none. And he would chair it, and it would be an opportunity for representatives who are on this mayor advisory committee or council to work independently of the mayor to reach out to the residents and people with concerns such as, you know, the question that you just posed, to be able to bring back to the mayor suggestions on how to move forward in those areas.
So I have one other question that was sent in, and then I have a few more that if we can get a few more in.
Sure.
The question was, do you believe that we might see some property tax relief in the next few years? And I know that we had a virtually zero increase, slight decrease.
And I wouldn't want to speculate. I mean, with all the, I made it quite clear in my budget presentation that, the city of Hudson and all its departments and all its considerations will be very cognizant of where we can save, how we can save, and move to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If that becomes a reality, then I think, we're on course to see that. I think there's some savings that needs to take place, and we need to consider, what we're spending on some of the departments we have. Can we restructure some of these departments to better serve the city financially? Contributions changed the city has to make from the comptroller's office with pensions and retirement.
It's hard to see a scenario that taxes would actually go down, it seems that the goal at the moment is to hold things as they are.
Yes, that's correct.
But that leads me to a question about departments restructuring and whatnot. So there's a lot of concern about the youth department and there was the elimination of the director's salary, and I was wondering if maybe you could tell people a little bit about
maybe
that.
Maybe I can clarify that and maybe add another department the potential for what I think would be, at least should be considered from a cost savings perspective. When it comes to the director, which was full time, if you look at the specs of the civil service position of director when it was a full time $60,000 job, full time probably didn't mean 40. And the first director that was here kind of concurred that, that job couldn't be done in 50 and sometimes 60 hours versus 40. The city chose to take that director position and move it back to 20 hours at $27,000, but didn't change any of the specs of the civil service position.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way that director could have accomplished what a director should have at 20 hours a week at $27,000.
Mm-hmm.
So after that director left, we put another director in. That director abruptly left after a short period of time. It was the consensus of those working at the youth department who came to me and said, listen, you probably are better served to use this money in restructuring the youth department for the senior center when it's built than to have the director, because it's not like it used to be and the director isn't being used the same way.
Right.
So what I had originally said was that when the youth or the senior center, the ground breaks for the senior center, that's the time that we'll sit down with the Youth and Aging Committee, the Common Council President, and those who work at the Youth Center for the purpose of determining how many employees we need, take the 27,000, move it to maybe two part-timers to have two people versus one there who will now not be doing director job responsibilities, but will be actually be assisting in the programs that are sure to be enhanced if, in fact, the senior center first and second floor is built. what occurred was the bids coming in at 1.2, 1.3 million.
Right.
And the project really being put on hold.
Right.
And the 27,000 not being budgeted because of the fact that when they came in, there was no way that we could afford the $1.3 million. Now, we're in discussion right now with possibly being able to achieve this in other ways, the building itself.
Uh-huh.
But regardless, we're going to have to find money, and we're going to have to restructure the youth department to fit the needs of the seniors and everything else that goes on down there. If in fact the senior center is built in its entirety as was planned. Another area is the Hudson Police Department and what we expend with the police department. Back in 1987, when I was just came on the job,
mm-hmm.
There was roughly 10,000 people in the city of Hudson. There were 23 officers. We had a chief, detective sergeant, and three sergeants, one per shift.
Right.
Now we have 26 total. 6,400 roughly people in the city of Hudson. We have a chief, two lieutenants, five sergeants, you know, four detectives.
Right.
The city can't continue down the road of trying to support this structure with our police department. And that's nothing, it's not to take anything away from what the men and women
it's just unsustainable.
Of law enforcement
right.
do in the city.
Right.
No differently than they thought they needed to change then. The consideration is we need to change now because of the fact that it's just how long can we sustain it?
Right.
How long is this going to be affordable to do? And I think now is, it, you know, with a lot of the young officers that we have, is the best time to consider
right.
this restructuring.
If you're just joining us, I'm with Hudson Mayor William Hallenbeck Jr. We're talking about all things city government and... I'm really glad that I wish we had like another hour.
Great conversation.
One of the things that people have brought up a number of times as well is the missing money in the Rogers. Is it the Rogers company that was
yes.
missing? So, and that like the names of the people that have been questioned or suspects in that case have never been released. So I was wondering if you had any.
Well, I could tell you that the investigation is ongoing. And that's all I can say about that.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, again, when in what I said before, you know, these investigations sometimes take time. And,
right.
and the same as, you know, any drug investigations
right.
where somebody may report something and then say, well, you know, it's been 2-3 months and nothing's happened, so nobody's doing anything. And
right.
That,
clearly, things are happening.
Obviously, isn't the case.
So recently, the charges against Quentin Cross and Jamont McClendon were recently, or at least the grand jury decided not to indict on those charges. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, we have to respect our judicial system. And we certainly have to respect, you know, as things are followed through with our judicial system, with it, you know, the decisions that are made by either grand jury and or you know, our court judges and magistrates. My question to the commissioner and to the police department as mayor and in having society really victimized by this burglary at City Hall
mm-hmm.
is, you know, who is responsible? And if the investigation is ongoing, and I'm waiting for word from the Hudson Police Department
mm-hmm.
on whether or not then is the investigation ongoing, which I'm assuming it is, because, you know, we did have a burglary at City Hall. We do have... two individuals responsible or more, but we have two that are on surveillance cameras
mm-hmm.
at City Hall. And I think it's important if the investigation is going to continue and is ongoing that, you know, maybe the opportunity should be presented to the residents of the city of Hudson to be able to see, you know, what this surveillance picture represents, and maybe they can help us identify, you know.
And you've seen this videotape, I'm assuming.
I have, yeah.
And is there any doubt in your mind of who it is?
Well, I wouldn't comment on who I think it is, but, you know, it might be important for our residents to have an opportunity to, you know, at least if the investigation is continuing.
Right.
Because certainly I'd like to, you know, find out who entered City Hall.
Sure.
It might be an opportunity for our residents of the city of Hudson to see that.
And is that something in your control?
Publicize it and then see if somebody can identify who these individuals are.
But is that something that you can do? Is it? Are you able to release?
Well,
that?
I, you know, the question is this: you know, is the investigation concluded after whatever happened at the grand jury level, mm-hmm. which of course is confidential and secret? So, you know, certainly the public will never know. I will never know. Does that conclude an investigation into this burglary, or is it still ongoing? At which point in time is this an avenue that we can go in aiding that investigation?
Do you believe the case was mishandled?
Huh?
Do you believe the case was mishandled?
No, I don't. But I'm not really close to the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing that leads me to believe that it was mishandled.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't work for the police department. I wasn't an investigator on it.
Right.
And part of the investigation. Again, I believe in the judicial system, and I believe that, you know, those who, you know, are required to make decisions, be it on a grand jury level and or, you know, trial level, make decisions based on right. what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
My only question is, and I kind of wrestle with this, is whether or not that investigation is now closed or it remains open. And if it's closed, you know, does City Hall then retain the surveillance videos that mm-hmm. were given as evidence?
And
do we get that back
to
as
your
property
knowledge,
as property of City Hall?
But you, to your knowledge, those the videotape is intact and is still viewable and is there.
You know, the day of the burglary is, you know, that was part of the investigation,
right?
You know, it's part of the evidence.
I see.
You know, I have no knowledge as to, you know, where it is, who has it, except
right.
for HPD.
That's pretty much it. I have
Thank you.
So one other question. Are you and you can choose to answer or not, but I mean, have you decided that you're running for re-election, or are you still reserving that?
Listen, I love what I do. I love representing the city of Hudson at this level, and I certainly appreciate the cooperation and the efforts being made in a bipartisan fashion by everyone, and you know, having the opportunity to discuss these issues on radio shows like yours here at WGXC, and you know, short of totally committing to running again, I would like nothing more than to serve the citizens of the city of Hudson in
Great.
This capacity for another term.
So I want to thank my guest, William Hallenbeck, Jr., Mayor
thank
Hallenbeck.
You.
I really
thank
appreciate you.
You
coming and joining us today. I wish we had more time. We'll be back next week on At Issue. This is WGXE 90.7 FM.
You.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Law Office of David Seth Michaels in Spencertown, providing legal assistance in all criminal cases, including DWI and traffic infractions, in the courts of Columbia and Greene counties, 518-392-9150. David Seth.
This is Gloria DeBrand from Minneapolis, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acro, Hudson, Catskill, Hands-On Community Radio.